Heavenly Father, bless us this morning as we come to you in your holy word. Bless us as we encounter it and bless you. In the name of Jesus, we bless you, Lord. Amen. All right, we're going to pick up in Luke chapter 11 where we left off. We're picking up in verse 5. This is Luke chapter 11, verse 5. Jesus is a rabbi teacher. I mean, he teaches in the traditional sense, but he teaches in such a way that people have never encountered it this way. He has given them a type of teaching that it's not just teaching, but it's a combination of teaching as well as with blessings and healings. Look what happens in verse 5. He gives a teaching here, and he says here, and he said to them, and he's asking the group, he's saying, which of you have a friend? And go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise to give to you. Now, we would read this, and imagine your neighbor who is your friend comes knocking at the door at midnight. Knock, 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 knock. Wakes you up and goes, hey, sorry to disturb you, but can I borrow 3 loaves of bread? Well, in the sense of the Asian Middle Eastern culture, the worst thing that could ever happen to a person was you had guests that come to your house and you don't serve them. My friend Benjamin, he's Eastern, and he's from India, and their tradition was as soon as you come into their house, they sit you down in the best furniture, the best place to sit. And then they bring you food. They don't ask you if you're hungry. They don't ask you if you want a snack. They start bringing food to you. And it's their tradition. I mean, you get there and sometimes it's just some dried fruit or some nuts or something. And I was so impressed. I was just like going, you guys are being nice. This is so nice. What are y'all doing all this for? Oh, we like doing it. It's like what we do. Well, imagine someone knocks on your door saying, hey, I have a house guest, and I was not able to do the most considerate, most normal thing was to tend to their hunger needs. And the guy who gets awoken, he is like saying, oh my gosh, you woke me up, it's midnight. The kids just got in bed, and you see where it says, and my children are in bed with me. Back then, they would have their little ones with them in bed. They would be in one big room, and can you imagine? Now you got the kids awake. You've got the kids a-squawking, you know. Go away. The kids are in bed. I just gave them their melatonins. They're asleep, you know. They're quiet for the night. Don't wake them up. Look what else happens. He says, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his what? His persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now, we read about this and we're thinking, does this have to do with prayer? And it does. Now, is it that God is this grumpy old guy who we have to just pester him, persistently pestering him, and making him feel miserable and everything till he finally breaks down and gives an answer to us and says, okay, gosh, you're still praying about that? All right, all right, all right. I'll give you something. I'll give you what you need. Just leave me alone. God is not that way. But here, he's given you a contrast. Rabbis would teach in that traditional sense of, you know, a contrast. You know, the right and the wrong. If you go read Proverbs, you go read the book of James, you go read, you'll see where they'll say, you know, the righteous man seeketh the Lord with his whole heart. The fool trusts no one. You know, the fool ends up in devastation and destruction and chooses the wrong path. And you always have that contrast. Here the contrast is interesting, though. It's interesting. You have a contrast. It says here, the guy has gone to bed. And it was traditionally also when the door is what? The door is shut. The day was closed for that family. And it was a disrespectful thing to go knocking on their door in the middle of the night at all. In the same way, it was disrespectful to have guests show up and you have nothing. So you have an imposed urgency. There is one. And if your friend is really your friend, they're not going to get so grumpy with you that, you know, they stop liking you. You notice it says he ends up giving him as many as he needs. Maybe the guy was a baker, I don't know. Had plenty of bread on hand. But when you think about the contrast, it's not what you would think that the Lord is the grumpy guy. The guy who doesn't want to be bothered. It's not him. And the Lord is not the one coming and asking. But the contrast here is that this guy is a human being and he's asking another human being. And God is the difference. You're not asking a human being, but you're asking a God. And his ways are not our ways. His ways are different. He does not grow tired. He does not become irritated. He does not become bitter or bothered. He doesn't roll his eyes at you when you've asked him for the 14th time. He loves you. And he's never asleep. He's never off duty. He's never too busy. And he's not preoccupied with something else. That is the contrast. Look what else it reads below. It says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Then he starts showing you the characteristics of the Father. He says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you, and I want you to put the word humans in there, if you humans, being what we are, that we have sin, meaning being evil, that we're sinners, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your perfect, excellent, omnipotent, and loving Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? You see the contrast? The human being, when he got pestered enough, he broke down and he gave. He gave abundantly. However many you need, just get off my back. But the Father, he's not that way. He loves giving gifts. He has gifts for you. Holy gifts. Wonderful gifts. Gifts that you have longed for, but you don't even know you're longing for them. He has given them to you. He's given you things that you weren't even aware you needed, and he comforted you with them, and you didn't even realize it. Same with me. He has given us his wonderful presence. We have, since the day we were born into this creation around us, we have sensed the living God all around us. It is something that we have never, ever been without. But those who do not know him and refuse him will one day experience the absence of his presence, which I believe, in my own personal opinion, is what hell is. Anguish and suffering beyond measure. When Jesus says, you know, when he talks about those unfaithful, unworthy servants, he says, depart from me, for I never knew you, out into the outer darkness, away from the light. There is only wailing and gnashing of teeth. What's so miserable about it? All their life, they didn't want anything to do with God. And then he gives them what they wanted. Nothing to do with God. His presence is completely vacuumed from them, except for one part, his wrath. That's all that remains in the presence of those who are in hell, is the wrath of God against all uncleanliness, all unrighteousness. And if you do not know Jesus Christ, speaking of the world, because I know everyone in here, I know you all know Jesus. I know you're saved. But there are those in our lives that are not. We know them. And they will encounter the total absence of God if they truly don't know him. They truly don't know him. We, though, have a loving Father who gives great gifts. And we must ask ourselves, well, I have prayed many, 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 many times for certain things. Like the guy who pesters the other guy, you know, pester. Keep praying, keep praying, keep knocking, keep knocking, keep ringing the doorbell. It's going to get opened. And it seems to not get opened. What is that all about, Pastor Michael? Well, we read previously that Jesus talks about those who put their hand to the plow and they look away, they're not worthy. He also talks about those who wish to be his disciple. It says to, you know, sell all your belongings, give it to the poor, take up your what? Your cross and follow me. Meaning, put everything, your priorities in place. What does it say there in chapter 11? We read the very beginning, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Meaning, it's all about you in my life, Lord. I have put the priorities right. I have set aside my fleshly desires, my fleshly wants, my fleshly, you know, hobbies and things I want to go do, because I want to focus on you. yet I still haven't had that prayer answered. I still want things. Why isn't he giving them to me? Well, I'm knocking, and he knows I'm knocking. He knows my heart. He knows my desire. And God always gives a response and an answer to your prayer needs. And here what they look like. One sometimes is not now. Yeah. Maybe you're not really ready for what he wants you, what you think you're ready for, that is. Sometimes you want something. He knows your desires. Yet he knows you're not ready for it. Do you think the young disciples that were following Jesus were really ready to go into the deep cities and the faraway pagan cities that worshipped false gods and were violent and dangerous? Were they really ready when they were that young? No. But God prepared them and grew them and matured them and made them ready when they did go to those places. And they were ready. They were tested. They were forged in a fire of his love and testing in his crucible of things that they were to encounter. You know, another thing that God does, though, sometimes he says the answer, and he does answer your prayer, and the answer is no. And we sometimes take that as he must not love us. I thought it said it would be open. But I will tell you, sometimes he says no to this thing you want, this thing I want. And guess what he gives me? He gives me something actually better. He goes, you think you really want this? But my greatest gift I have for you is this. And we're so hooked and focused and desiring that thing that we think we want that's going to fulfill us and make us real happy. Yet, he gives us something better. Can you think of something you really, really, really wanted and God didn't give it to you, but later in life, he gave you something you never saw coming, and it was so much better. It was so much better. Isn't God good? Let me tell you what. When I was a young teenager, I worked at this restaurant for a while. I told Susanna a story. She thinks it's funny. Makes me want to cry. You ever have a crush when you were a kid on someone? You know, I had a crush on this girl. And I looked at her and I thought, oh, she's so pretty. She's so nice. She's such a good person. And I would ask her out, and she would just give me a look and like, no, go away, go away, go away. And I used to think, oh, Lord, it'd be so nice that she's such a pretty girl. I could never imagine having a girl that pretty in my life. And I would ask her again, and I asked her again. She kept telling me, no, no, no. And she would almost say no in the word, ew, no. That's how bad it was. And so one day I got the nerve up. I was persistent. I was knocking. It was end of the week. I had a little money in my pocket. I got paid. And I asked her, I said, hey, would you like to go out? And she goes, I would love to. I was like, what? What? And she goes, where are we going? And I go, I don't know. What would you like to do? And she goes, I want to go to Six Flags. And I'm like going, there goes my whole paycheck. There goes my whole paycheck. And I said, okay, How about Saturday morning? She goes, how about Friday evening? And I'm like, well, I'm not working. And yeah, we could do that, you know. We could do that. So I borrow a guy's car. I don't even have a driver's license. I borrow a car. And had to put gas in that car. That cost money. And I go pick her up. You know, I'm so nervous. Pick her up, and we take her to Six Flags, you know, and you got to pay to park, got to buy the ticket. Oh, my gosh, you know. Back then, it was like $20-something dollars a ticket, you know. Oh, my goodness. Now, I think it's like $90 a ticket or something, you know. But get her the ticket. You know how you go in the front gates of Six Flags, and then there's, you've got the fountain, you got this big round area, and you got all these different paths where you can go to the rides, you know. And I go, hey, what ride you want to ride first? All I could think of was, like, I get to hold her hand in the love tunnel. That's all I wanted to do, is go to the love tunnel where they had the cave ride, you know, and it was cold and scary and dark. I'd get to hold her hand, I thought, you know. And we're standing there, and she goes, well, hang on a minute. She kept looking around. And then she sees some people she notices. And she goes running over, hugging on them, and then she grabs this guy, and she's kissing him. And it turns out, I walk over and she goes, Michael, I am so glad you got me into Six Flags today, but this is my real date. Yeah. Now here's the contrast. Yeah. That was a kill moment, wasn't it? Here's the contrast. The Lord gave me a wonderful wife who's far more beautiful and more precious than all the rubies in the world and all the diamonds, who would never do that to me, who would never betray me, never mistreat me, never use me. You know what the good news about that whole story is? Not just knowing later on I got to know Suzanne, but that girl called me early the next morning. She hung out with that guy that she wanted to date, that it was too cheap to even buy her a ticket into Six Flags. And they got pulled over, and he had drugs in the car, and they all got arrested, and she was wanting me to bail her out. I told her, I'm sorry, I spent all my money at Six Flags. So, God works out your prayer desires, doesn't he? He does. He does. He knows what's better. Don't get hung up on the things that you think are important. Be sure they're aligned with that you have given up on all those things, or at least put them aside, that is, and put Christ first. He knows the better thing. He knows the much better thing. He knows how you are. He knows what makes you tick. He knows what disappoints you, what irritates you, your shortcomings, and your successful behaviors. He knows all those things. And he takes them all into account. He loves you with a great love, with a wonderful love. And he'll get you through those moments when you don't think it's fair. Just try to think on the long distant looking. You know, God has the long view on things. You came a long ways. You went through a lot. But he has you. And he's very pleased with you. And he's very happy with you. He could not be happier with anyone else than you. He's head over heels in love with you. When he says your name, he smiles. The Bible says he sings over you. He loves you. and he's good and he's righteous. Let's close there. Next week we're going to pick up a house divided against itself. It's such a deep subject. We're going to talk about demons. We're going to talk about the unforgivable sins that are described. You know, there's this one described sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And if you did, oh, it says that you blew all your chances. Well, we're going to learn more about the great love of God and His love and His forgiveness next week. But we're going to close there because I think we should end on that. That's a good sign. God will bless us. Heavenly Father, it is nice, it is wonderful to be in a house with brothers and sisters who don't really mind at all, letting all their flaws be seen, who aren't interested in impressing anybody, just being themselves, being who they are, and just trusting you. Let your love be our daily bread, Lord. Allow us to just come together as we do and just bless us in your holy, wonderful name. In the name of Jesus. Amen.